always streaming on the Civic Media app.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Multiple sources tell ABC that today is the day President Trump is expected to sign an executive order eliminating the Department of Education. Critical services and programs will go to other agencies. The first day of spring arriving with plenty of non-very spring-like weather.
In Lincoln, Nebraska, highways littered with cars and big rigs in a blizzard on the last night of winter. Similar scenes in Minnesota, Kansas, and Iowa. And in Utah's Cottonwood Canyon, multiple cars buried in an avalanche. That snow came from the same system now moving east. Hundreds of thousands of people nationwide are without power. The Midwest, the hardest hit. Over 200,000 electric customers in the dark.
That's ABC's Alex Stone. The Israeli military says it'll no longer allow Palestinians to enter northern Gaza from the south. A blockade that had been in place early in the Israel-Hamas war has been reestablished. Airstrikes over the Gaza Strip continued overnight. This is ABC News. The Pentagon may be given more power to patrol the southern border, sources tell ABC News. Plans are being evaluated that would have the military in charge of a buffer zone between the U.S. and Mexico. Whole lot of Americans spending a whole lot of time in line at the DMV. ABC's Andrew Dimbert with more.
DMVs around the country are packed as people line up for hours to get their real ID. In Illinois, a frenzy of applications. The demand prompting the state to open a Real ID Super Center. In Florida, officials say people are booking multiple appointments at the DMV only to turn around and sell the appointment times for up to $250 each. Local officials now trying to make appointment scalping illegal. If you are able to get an appointment for your Real ID, be sure to bring the right documents. Requirements vary by state.
Real ID or a passport will be required for travel after May 7th. March Madness shifting into high gear today. 16 games are scheduled. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Did you know there's a city in Wisconsin that goes all in on the idea of celebrating St. Patrick's Day for more than a week? Members of the Shamrock Club of New London, about an hour west of Green Bay, lead the festivities, which brings thousands of visitors to the area. But do you know what has officially kicked it all off for more than 40 years? Here's club member Ryan Lanning with the answer.
The Monday of our St. Patrick's week is we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin, and then they visit various schools and nursing homes, and we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about, and truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans that we like to pull. It's just a great time for everybody.
Even the city council votes to make New Dublin the official name for New London this time of year. That is one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Tournament time for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. March Madness, the Badgers in Denver to face Montana today. Now, the city of Milwaukee will also host some tournament games this weekend. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he'd preferred Fiserv Forum instead of Ball Arena in Colorado.
I thought we got a really good seed. I understand why we got sent to Denver based on the seed lines with Kentucky, Texas Tech, Iowa State all ahead of us at the three lines. So, you know, Sunday didn't matter. I don't think even Saturday mattered in terms of the committee's eyes. I think we were locked. So you turn the page and get ready to go play.
Baseball opening day a week from today in New York when the Brewers play the Yankees. One pitcher for the crew to watch for is 25-year-old right-hander Craig Yoho, who's had a good spring training, but for now is being sent to the minors.
I mean, yeah, it was a good experience. You know, I played well, a lot of confidence going into the season, and that's where I want to be. And, you know, I want to be helping the team win as much as possible this season. And so, you know, when my time comes, I'll be ready for it.
That's Brewers pitcher Craig Yoho with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theaters this weekend, here are some moving pictures to consider. Disney's live-action version of Snow White is called Disney's Snow White. The film stars Rachel Zegler as Snow White and Gal Gadot as the evil witch, and it's packed with Snow White pals Bashful, Doc, Sleepy, and the gang. The story might be an age-old Disney favorite, but this new iteration is pulling only a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not good when you mess up a classic. Here are a couple suggestions for films that are reviewing well. Sci-fi horror film Ash is the story of a woman who wakes up on a foreign planet only to find her crew has been murdered. The film has been called riveting and is pulling an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Magazine Dreams also has excellent reviews. The drama tells the story of a bodybuilder pursuing his dream of being on the cover of muscle magazines, but struggles with loneliness. Let's have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 44 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to northwest at 5 to 15, becoming southwesterly this afternoon. Tonight becoming breezy after midnight, our low 27. Tomorrow mostly cloudy. A few sprinkles with a high in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. The chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, joins us to talk about the April 1st election and more. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning at 6:06 on this Thursday morning, March 20th, 2025. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether you're listening on the app or watching us on social media or by podcast, however you get us, through the app, all of it's much appreciated. Nice to have you here. My question for you is this. Do you, you have one of these yet? He said, pointing to his I voted sticker. Yeah, early voting is underway, and I did my part yesterday, heading up to the beautiful town hall here in Eagle Point in Chippewa County and filling out my absentee ballot in person, sealing it up in the little envelope, handing it back to my town clerk, and it will be counted on Tuesday, April 1st, Election Day. And you can do the same thing. There is still time for early voting. It's going to run throughout next week as well. But in all cases, you've got to work with your local clerk because they control the hours and the access to in-person early absentee voting. So head over to myvote.wi.gov to learn how to contact your clerk's office and get that ballot filled out. Coming up on the program today, we'll be talking a lot about one of the races on the ballot, and that would be for state Supreme Court. Last night, I was prompted to put that in my notes because of a story about Elon Musk giving donations to Republican members of Congress. Not just any Republican members of Congress, but the ones who are most diabolical in doing the bidding of Elon Musk and his buddy Donald Trump in undermining the United States Constitution. And tops on that list is Wisconsin's Derek Van Orden, who got his 30 pieces of silver from Elon Musk, the world's richest man. Elon Musk maxed out a donation to Congressman Van Orden for demanding and being the first in Congress to demand the impeachment of a federal judge. So that there was that, for starters. We'll say a little bit more about that coming up. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki in a bit about Brad Schimmel, back to the Supreme Court race here. Brad Schimmel, what did he do this time? I've got two different things here. One is he was rehashing the old trope about voting irregularities in Wisconsin's largest city. So I was making note of that last night while watching the big Grand Ole Opry concert. We'll talk about that in a sec. But then this morning in the Journal Sentinel comes a lengthy new column from Dan Bice. And it gets into a lot of detail about the many, many, many times that Brad Schimmel has not had the kindest things to say about women with whom he disagrees. A little bit about a man or two that I can see, but for the most part, if you are a woman who is not of the far right wing, you are either dumb, you are imbalanced, you are not sophisticated, you are nuts. We'll go through all the details on that. So we've got a lot to say about the Brad Schimmel race for state Supreme Court, but Derek Van Orden also definitely falls into the crosshairs as well for what he's been trying to do to undermine the U.S. Constitution. We've got more as well. We've got on this Thursday, that means Luke Mathers will join us later on in the show. And we will be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about the weather. We have our state capitol update, as we often do on Thursdays at 7:30, with State Senator Jeff Smith and new state representative Vinnie Moress. So we'll talk to them coming up in just a little bit. But back to the weather. Not a flake of snow here in Chippewa Falls. But the school district canceled classes yesterday. Having heard the local weather forecasts about just how bad things could be, and not a single snowflake fell. All day long, the radar showed that it was, you know, that there was snow potentially out there, but it never hit the ground here because temperatures all day long were around 36, 37 degrees. But the same cannot be said for folks south of us. They got hit pretty hard. Let me look at some of the snowfall totals here. By and large, in the 5 to 9 inch range, from La Crosse all the way up to Crivitz. You had La Crosse with 8.5 inches, Neillsville with 9 inches, Warrens with 9 inches. And it was a very defined line on the snow. One example would be on I-94 as you leave Eau Claire and head southeast. You get to Osseo, which is, 20 miles down the road, and they got 1.5 inches of snow. You go just a little bit further down the road to Hixton, 7 inches of snow there. There was very, very, it was as predicted in that there was a belt of snow that got hit pretty hard. But then for the rest of us, either just some rain, but certainly a lot of wind. And it continues to be windy out there at the bus stop this morning. It's 28 here on Lake Wissota, 23 in Hayward, 25 in Amory, 27 in Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids is at 26, La Crosse 28. Green Bay 31, Madison 30, Milwaukee 33. And at Radio Park in Racine, it's 34 degrees, and I am led to understand that the snow is still falling in the greater Kenosha area, not far from where we find Mr. Bach. Good morning.
That is correct. There's little bits of flakes coming down right now, and we're seeing very, very little. Just almost like the aftermath of a snowstorm. But in Kenosha, when I woke up this morning, I got out of the car. Cars were covered. Snow is coming down pretty hard, but not sticking as much as it's just kind of a road hazard right now.
Yes, it is. So folks, continue to be very careful. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm happy that we didn't have to deal with it here, but folks really got a final present on the final day of winter. Happy first day of spring. We made it. I know it doesn't quite feel like it yet, but we made it to spring. Yeah. And the Brewers season opener is a week from today.
Oh, baby, I love some baseball.
I cannot wait. Thank you, Gary, for the note on Facebook. Getting back to the elections and early voting, myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov to, learn more from your local clerk about early voting. And I do. I love early voting. We went up there after Sherry was done with work. We have just this beautiful town hall built in the 1930s. It was a WPA project.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know, back in the day. You know, it's been a dance hall for, oh, Lord only knows how many weddings over the years and other picnics and celebrations. And it's just always, it's nice to be in there. You truly feel the whole civic duty thing when you're in there. Because our voting booths are just these little cardboard, pieces of cardboard, you know, with the flag on them, mm-hmm. On three sides, little corrugated cardboard. And you just get your little marker and you fill it out on the card table there. And it's as Norman Rockwell as it gets up here,
I was going to say, it looks like you not only voted, but you also got yourself a haircut.
I did that, and I also cleared out furniture.
I saw that yesterday, but I couldn't interrupt you. Ooh, stuff's happening. Yeah.
Stuff is happening. Now, the beautiful bookshelves that are going to be behind me along this wall continue to sit at my feet in these six very heavy boxes from IKEA. But we've now moved all the other stuff out of the way so that perhaps as early as this weekend, ooh, we can start to put that together. And probably take video of it along the way, just in case it becomes Exhibit A in a divorce trial or something like that. I'm sure we'll be fine. But it's been a while since we had to build furniture together. Yeah. Like, you know, when we were first married, like our first entertainment center, you know, and we've built a couple of other small pieces along the way where we realized that that's really not the team building exercise that we excel at the most.
No.
You know? Ours is more like our team building exercises, puttering up river on a pontoon. We're really good at that.
Perfect.
You got to know your strengths.
Yeah. My wife invested a long time ago in these DVD like cabinets, like ornate. They weren't just like small and cheap. They were something. And I'm the guy who puts stuff together, and I tried to do it. It took me 7 hours. And then she tried, and it didn't look good. And then she put one on her own, and it didn't look good. And so finally, it was just at the pandemic when lockdown happened. Me and her brother, who was living with us for a few weeks, we put one together, and it looked beautiful. I'm like, oh, this was definitely something that needed two people.
Yes. Yeah. There's very little that you should be doing yourself in this kind of thing. So that's where, again, the team building comes into play. Mm-hmm. And it turns out my bigger challenge may actually be the thing you can see behind me. There's a chair rail running along the middle of the wall.
Oh, you can get rid of that?
And if I want to anchor it, the shelves to the wall, then I have to decide either to remove part of the rail, but not all of it, because then you got this little dead space in the wall where the shelves aren't, or leave the chair rail there and secure the shelves with a longer bracket. And I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I may have to find out.
Yeah. So, well, we will.
More great tales of HGTV radio to come in the days ahead. I did watch the first 2 hours of the 3-hour live celebration of the Grand Ole Opry's 100th birthday, which was really nice. And again, I'm not the world's biggest country music fan. There's a lot that I like. I don't listen to it constantly. Mm-hmm. And there are things I don't like that would get some country music fans mad at me. For example, there was a lot to be said about honoring George Strait. I happen to think George Strait, you gasped.
Go ahead. Say your words.
Look at that. He's looking at me, daring me to say the words.
Yeah, go ahead.
George Strait, boring.
Well, folks, that was fun. Up North News Radio is concluding its broadcasting life.
I've been canceled. Look, I love Amarillo by Morning, but I don't know that I've really liked anything else. But let's get to the happy part. He's not even a member.
That's the weird thing.
That says something. Okay. I'm not crying, you're crying moment was with Randy Travis, who has been racked with, you know, a stroke that he's been dealing with for 10 years. Carrie Underwood was singing his big hit Forever and Ever and Ever and Ever and Ever and Ever, and she gets out to the audience just in time for him to struggle to get out the amen. Not a dry eye as he sang that last note. It was a really beautiful moment in a really nice show. When we come back, we'll unpack some of the news about Brad Schimmel, Derek Van Orden, and more. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments.
as many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. La, 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 la.
When you're hot, you're hot. Well, when he took us into court, I couldn't believe my eyes. The judge was a fishing buddy that I recognized. I said, hey, judge, old buddy, old pal. Pay you that $100 if you get me out of this spot. So he gave my friend a little fine to pay. He turned around and grinned at me and said, 90 days, Jerry, when you hot, you hot. And I said, thanks a lot, when you hot, you hot.
Jerry Reed's birthday today. We'll talk about that in today's history lesson. We need more funny songs. Like, we need more funny story songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like what Jerry Reed used to do. Jim Stafford.
Roger. Oh, God, what's his last name? King of the Road. Roger Miller. Yes. Little Jimmy Dickens. And do you know who does really well, who has really good funny songs? Brad Paisley. He always has a song or two on there. They're not as over the top as they used to be, but they definitely have funny themes and jokes in there. And he keeps that old style alive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is good to know. Tony Weird Al Yankovic. You know.
What about him?
Those are story songs.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I get it. Or maybe that's his way of saying maybe I would like George Strait more if I listened to the Weird Al version of it. I don't know.
I don't think he's ever covered George Strait.
No, you know why?
Why?
Because the songs are boring.
You know what?
Anyway, turning our attention to the news now at 6:23. I'm helpless. I admit it. I'm just helpless.
That's a Garth Brooks song.
No, that's Shameless, and it was written by Billy Joel, and I know that. See? All right. In the Journal Sentinel this morning, new story from Dan Bice. Joe Sopecki, you'll hear from him in just a bit. We always record our interviews late on Wednesdays. And so this part will be new, and then we'll get into Brad Schimmel talking about, so-called irregularities in Milwaukee voting coming up in about 10 minutes. But Dan Bice has collected some of his greatest hits, Brad Schimmel's, of attacking the four liberal justices on the Supreme Court and others as well. Let's see. There was the Save America rally in Hubertus last August, where Schimmel referred to Janet Protasiewicz as the least sophisticated justice and dumb as a sack of hammers. There was him saying that Protasiewicz lies so often that if life were fair, her pants would literally be on fire. He described Justice Jill Karofsky as addled and crazy and said she is clearly angry about something. That's really the kind of thing you want to say about women with whom you disagree. He referred to Rebecca Dallet and Walsh Bradley, Karofsky and Protasiewicz as partisan hacks. He's called them nuts. He said that they were driven by their emotions and on the brink of losing it. Now, it isn't just as Dan Bice says here, he doesn't reserve all of his criticism just for the women folk, end quote. He called conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn soft-headed for occasionally voting with the liberals on some issues where, again, he has the audacity to try to rule in terms of the law rather than what party bosses might want him to do. Schimmel declined to answer questions from the Journal Sentinel on Tuesday after his Milwaukee Rotary appearance. He later went on to have a spokesperson say, well, he's not looking to win a popularity contest with the current majority. And the Bice column goes on to list more details about the kinds of things that Brad Schimmel has said about being dumb, being crazy, being angry, losing control of their emotions. He accused Karofsky of yelling at the top of her lungs during one case. Everybody's looked back at the video of the case, and she's not yelling at the top of her lungs, but clearly Brad Schimmel must think that's the case when it's a woman that he disagrees with. Again, this is talking about people that, okay, you disagree with them, but they are ruling on the law as they see it. And that takes us to the federal judges that have to deal with President Donald Trump and Elon Musk and what he's trying to do. And when Trump doesn't like how a judge rules, he would criticize the judge. He would lob personal criticisms at the judge. He now calls for their impeachments. And now many of those judges have concerns about their personal safety. Well, a lot of this was started in part by the congressman from Western Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, who was the first sitting member who called for the impeachment of federal judge Paul Engelmayer of New York. What's the crime that Van Orden deems to be worthy of impeachment? Having the temerity to insist that presidents have to follow the rule of law like the rest of us. Van Orden tweeted on February 20th, quote, "The time for judicial activism is over. The American people gave Donald Trump a mandate, and no politician disguised as a jurist will interfere with it." Engelmayer's so-called judicial activism was to say Elon Musk and his minions, who are not government employees, were to be not allowed access to the database of the United States Treasury, which processes trillions of dollars in payments every year. Van Orden's unique in being the first, but since then other members of Congress have followed in calling for the impeachment of federal judges who dared disagree with Donald Trump. So Van Orden is unique in his betrayal of the Constitution, believing that the president of his party can be above the law and have access to private data that can affect you, your business, your community. Just imagine Derek Van Orden's reaction if President Biden were to bring in a team of Silicon Valley data specialists and they were going to bring quote-unquote efficiency to that same Treasury database. Van Orden wouldn't be able to get to a TV camera fast enough to demand Biden's impeachment. He would demand Biden's indictment. And knowing Derek Van Orden, he would probably be demanding Biden's execution. That's what makes Derek Van Orden an embarrassment, or to use a term that he's fond of, a clown. Donald Trump this week called for the impeachment of another judge who tried to halt his most recent batch of illegal deportations, and it has ramped up concerns among all judges for their safety. Elon Musk has taken note of this. Elon Musk has now given the maximum allowable campaign donation to Derek Van Orden and other Republican members of Congress who called for the impeachment of judges. So congratulations, Derek Van Orden. You have received your 30 pieces of silver for betrayal to a Constitution that you had sworn an oath to uphold. Joseph Pecky's next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Corn growers are getting excited. It looks like E15 for use year-round is about ready to cross the finish line. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. This is something corn growers have been talking about at Capitol Hill for quite a little while. That includes Patrick Sayer. He is the vice president of the Missouri Corn Growers Association. He says the big topic this year has been year-round E15. And he says, for the first time, the oil industry is backing the same legislation.
I'm feeling very optimistic that we're close. We're very close because we have the oil industry's actually for probably the first time ever. They're actually behind it too. They'd like to have a nationwide fix so they can proceed and not have, especially fuels that they got to, different blends here, different blends there. So be a nationwide fix, makes their process work easier. And it's good for everybody in general, everybody, consumer down to the producer.
Patrick Sayer, a corn producer from Missouri in Washington, D.C., continuing to send a message to Capitol Hill that E15 year-round not only helps farmers, it also helps consumers. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Well, the corn might be benefiting from some of that conversation. Corn is up, soybeans are down. I'll give you the rest of the story next.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 156 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was up 160 and a half. The April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is up 13 cents at 17.19. May close 21 cents stronger, 17.26. So currently, the May corn is up 2 at 4.64. December new crop up a penny at 4.52. May soybeans are down 2.5 at 10.06. November new crop down 3.5 at 10.06. July new crop wheat, that's down a penny right now at 5.79 a bushel. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 44 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west to northwest at 5 to 15, becoming southwesterly this afternoon. Tonight becoming breezy after midnight, our low 27. Tomorrow mostly cloudy. A few sprinkles with a high in the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Trump's Agriculture Department continues to axe food programs to the tune of over $1 billion and counting. Plus, Nancy Pelosi says, don't give away anything for nothing. What did Chuck Schumer get us? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, welcome back on this Thursday morning. Time to talk to Joe Zepecki on this first day of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament, and it is the first day. Don't talk to me about the play-in games. This is it. This is when it starts. This is when the brackets really matter, is what I'd say if I'd filled out brackets and if Joe had filled out brackets. How are you feeling about the Badgers and Marquette?
I think they both have the capacity to make very deep runs, and they could be out by the first weekend. And that's both the blessing and the curse of college basketball these days. The reality is that the transfer portal and NILs have, just like they have impacted the college football game, they have impacted the college basketball game. When Wisconsin is playing their best, they can beat anybody in the country. When the shots aren't falling, they can end up in a rock fight like they did in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. So that's the fun of it. Okay. And this has been Bracketology with Joe Zepecki.
That's the extent of sports talk for today. Because otherwise, you know, where we start? We start with the state Supreme Court race. And I appreciate the diversion before we get into asking ourselves why would Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel still be raising the trope about how Milwaukee counts its ballots? Is this a dog that still hunts, apparently?
I don't know, but God, is it embarrassing. Yeah. Brad Schimmel knows better. Brad Schimmel is not an idiot, okay? He's wrong about a lot of things. He doesn't share my views of the world in many ways, but he is not a dumb man. This is dumb to say, of course I'll accept the results of the election so long as there's no funny business in Milwaukee. And then what they always go to is the late night ballot dumps. Boy, Scott Walker was looking pretty good in 2018. Boy, Eric Hovde was looking pretty good in 2024. This is nonsense for two reasons. Number one, it's called math. Every single person who works in Republican politics knows it's math. It's why Joe Hendrick up in Minocqua was able to say at 9:30, 10 o'clock on election night, Eric Hovde is in trouble. He doesn't have a big enough lead everywhere else to make up for what's going to happen in Milwaukee. That's part one. Part two is the reason that those Milwaukee returns are reported late is because Republican legislators refuse to update the ballot processing rules. Right now, city officials, election workers cannot do anything with early in-person or mail-in absentee ballots before 7 a.m. on election day. They don't have enough bodies to process them in one day. It takes time. There has been a bill, a bipartisan bill, that Governor Evers would sign in a heartbeat. I believe it passed one chamber of the legislature, but the other one refused to bring it up for a vote. The ballot dump issue is a Republican creation so that they can undermine confidence in our democracy. That is what's happening here. And Big Lie Brad jumping on the bandwagon with this BS. Oh, wait, those are his initials. Isn't that weird? It's BS, Brad. Knock it off.
Yes. And by the way, yes, it was the state Senate that let that bill die. And why did they let it die? They let it die so that somebody like Brad Schimmel could say exactly what he said this week, to cast doubt on the process and for people to look at big, bad Milwaukee, because we won't help big, bad Milwaukee count its votes. It allows the trope to continue. And so he has earned every bit of ridicule that he gets for this.
Yeah.
It is politically juvenile. It borders on political malpractice that if he has a campaign manager, would let him even talk like that. It's only going to appeal to the people who are going to vote for him anyway.
It's so stupid. It's like a high school team that has a go-to chant, right? It's just like, yeah, it's what you say if you're a Republican, but that doesn't mean it's not nonsense. It is nonsense.
Yeah. But part of another feature of the race, which arguably is worse than the candidate, you know, spouting this kind of BS, is the misleading ads that are coming from a Schimmel ally, in this case, one Elon Musk, who, along with the, it's got to be approaching $15 million by now, and some of that money is going for ads that, you know, are under the guise of being pro Susan Crawford ads, but, you know, then what, tag her as so extreme, you know, that it's actually an ad against her. Even the Journal Sentinel editorial board took a position on this.
I really think it's generous of you that you referred to Elon Musk as a supporter of Brad Schimmel. He's Brad Schimmel's sugar daddy. Brad Schimmel was desperate for outside support and begged outside groups to come in and support him. Well, Tesla went to court and sued the state of Wisconsin. And two days later, Elon Musk opened up the wallet. I've been doing this for a long time, working with reporters and the media. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board is not what it used to be. It used to be a body that would like interview candidates and make recommendations. That's no longer a thing they do. They would weigh in all the time on stuff. They very rarely weigh in the way that they did yesterday. But I just want to read some of this. The headline, Elon Musk's despicable disinformation tampers with Wisconsin Supreme Court election. That is coming out hot, and it is appropriate, but not it's like pretty surprising that they're doing this. Elon Musk is paying for a group called Progress 2028 that is falsely presenting itself as a progressive liberal organization and saying that Susan Crawford supports things she has never talked about, spending millions of dollars to make people mad about Susan Crawford, and it's all a lie. It is a lie. And the idea that we're going to let this billionaire come in here, as he's supposed to be, you know, busy disemboweling the federal government, and buy a Supreme Court seat with outright lies is shameful. This has got to stop. And the only way it stops is if we, the people, rise up and defeat Brad Schimmel by a healthy margin on April 1st. PSA, you can early vote in person today and tomorrow and next week. Go cast your vote.
Get that vote in. And by the way, to something that you said last week about how the Supreme Court election has become a referendum on the president and on Elon Musk, that is not just a Joe Zepecki point of view. That is not just a left of center point of view. One Donald Trump Jr. Visited Wisconsin recently and also framed the election as a referendum. So folks, don't feel like, you know, there's anything unseemly about keeping in mind in the voting booth whether you think this is the right track to be on or not, because even Don Jr. says, yep, go ahead, say what you think of my daddy.
I feel a little attacked, like you're equating me with Don Jr. And I just want to make clear, I said it first. Don Jr. may be following my lead. Yes, there the Wisconsin go. State Supreme Court race is a referendum on the presidency of the Mad King Donald Trump and his Elon Musk doge bags and merry band of minions firing tens of thousands of veterans, crashing the stock market, igniting trade wars and uncertainty, killing your 401k. If you are upset about any of that, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, the clearest way to send a message to Washington and to Mr. Trump and Mr. Musk is to vote for Susan Crawford. Full stop.
By the way, if you're inclined to vote that way, but you're still just not sure if you're going to early vote or show up on April 1st, let me make clear, every Trump-supporting voter is showing up on April 1st or early. There's nobody that is on the side of what Elon Musk is doing who says, I might sit this one out. So, yep. You know, be complacent at your own peril, literally your own peril, economic and otherwise.
We're the first people in the country who get to vote in a statewide election. That matters. People are going to watch that. It would be one thing if that was the case in like Indiana which is not a state where you can say, as goes Indiana, so goes the nation. Here in Wisconsin, Virginia, it's like, you know, as goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. We are the tipping point state. We were the closest state in 2024. We can send a message. We got to show up. We got to show out. We got to support Susan Crawford.
Maybe we make it a referendum on Ron Johnson as well. I don't know how he missed this last week, but as I was looking back at headlines, late last week, Ron Johnson said the VA isn't in trouble with all these cuts. He says the VA might have been overfunded. So there's what Ron Johnson thinks of veterans' health care is, you know, you guys are the bloat in the waist. I don't think a lot of vets would take kindly to that.
I don't know what the wait time is at the VA, but it's not good. It is usually in the months that it takes to get an appointment. And the notion that the most powerful country in the world, who owes what we owe to the men and women who wear our country's uniform and put their lives on the line for us, that they can't get medical care when they need it, that they can't get mental health support when they need it. They got to wait months. And Senator Johnson has the audacity to say, what are you talking about? They're all fat and happy over at the VA. There's probably too many people. You would laugh at it if it wasn't so deeply insulting to those who have served and their families, because Republicans like Ron Johnson love to wrap their arms around veterans when it's convenient and when they want to feel patriotic. But when they actually want to make good on the debt we owe people, they're unwilling to pay it. And that is infuriating.
And by the way, I will have more to say about this in the next segment. In today's history lesson, where we talk a bit about the anniversary of the Iraq War and the folks who were wounded there. So stick around for that. So that was Ron Johnson. Tammy Baldwin, on the other hand, is busy warning that the potential for Medicaid cuts is real. Again, for all the times that Democrats tried to tell people they're coming for your health care, and people said, I don't know about that. Well, between the VA and Medicaid, it's pretty darn real, Joe.
I'm going to see Senator Baldwin in a couple hours, actually, at one of her hands-off Medicaid events. She's all over the state this week, Northwest, Southeast, everywhere in between, listening to folks who benefit from Medicaid, who work for a living, who are able to live a life of work and dignity and fulfillment because of Medicaid. She's going to be talking with some folks, all kinds of stories, people whose children can't get all of the support they need through employer-sponsored coverage, people who have some mobility challenges and some of the chairs that they need allow them to leave the house and go work a full-time job, including as like civil engineers. Medicaid is a lifeline for more than 1 million Wisconsinites. And to my Republican friends, Medicaid also supports 30,000 businesses across Wisconsin. That's how many businesses bill Medicaid each year. If they take the wrecking ball to Medicaid in the way that they are suggesting they will, it will have a devastating effect on families. It will make everyone else pay more for health care, and it will cripple Wisconsin businesses and the people who work at those businesses. This does not make sense. It is not the right move, even if it wasn't to pay for tax cuts for rich guys and corporations. Elon Musk doesn't need another tax cut. But people who rely on Medicaid, they need that support. Because even if the dollars go away, it doesn't mean the needs go away. It just means the rest of us are going to end up paying even more for it. That's bad policy, and it's terrible politics.
And I'm jumping a couple of moves ahead on the chessboard here, but it does remind me that when these things inevitably happen, we're going to be told, oh, but we're going to put money in a health savings account for you, and you'll have the power to go get your health care wherever you want. We're going to
radio is not a medium where everybody can hear my eyes rolling out of my head, but they did.
Nope, but that's the preview of what we'll be talking about in the not too distant future. Joseph Becky, thank you so much. Enjoy the games this weekend, you're off next week. Enjoy a little time off, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
We'll see if they let me back in the country.
Let's see if they do. All right, we will, in our today's history lesson, talk about that anniversary of the Iraq War and have a bit of a birthday greeting to the Republican Party and what happened in Ripon, Wisconsin on this day all those years ago. Coming up next, here up north. I love you, baby, with all my might.
listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Washington State implemented their universal vote-by-mail system in 2013 and built in signature matching for identity verification. A March ruling by the state Supreme Court upholds that rule as constitutional because voters can cure discrepancies. Before the 2022 midterms, a state-commissioned audit found that younger voters, voters of color, and non-English speakers were far more likely to have their ballots rejected, and the rate of rejection varied by county. Two recent lawsuits challenged the signature matching rule, claiming that the lack of handwriting standards and the inconsistent science for signature verification resulted in the rejection of 4,500 Hispanic ballots in the 2020 primary and 36,000 ballots from all voters in the 2022 midterms. In the court's recent opinion, Justice Stephen C. Gonzalez acknowledged those rejections. All too many ballots are not counted because election workers cannot verify the voter's signatures and the voter does not or cannot cure their ballot in time. But the court found no bias, evidence of partisan malfeasance, or that voters were intentionally blocked from voting. It also found counties offered opportunities to cure those ballots. The state's auditor recommended more training for county election officials, outreach to the most affected voter groups to prevent discrepancies, and more valuable advice for any state verifying signatures. We'll have more on that in our next report. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hi, neighbor.
It's time for today's history lesson.
Hey, not so loud.
I'm sorry, that wasn't very neighborly of me, but the guy next door.
Sorry, Pat.
Changes his shoes when he comes in the... I don't know. Fred Rogers was born 97 years ago today. Can't believe he's been gone for, 22 years now? Fred Rogers born this day in 1928 of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. How I liked that show as a kid.
How I love that show now.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a birthday today that I have to make special mention of.
Yes.
And that would be my former co-anchor at WEAU TV 13. That would be Judy Clark has a birthday today. So she knows that. And she was recently named a legend, a local legend by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. So happy birthday, Judy. Love you. Love the fact that for the next 100 days or so, you're older than me. I remember that every year. Another birthday. Let's see. Jerry Reed. He was born Jerry Reed Hubbard in Atlanta this day in 1937.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Patootie.
Jerry Reed, 1937 to 2008. And Who doesn't miss a good Burt Reynolds car chase truck driving movie? Right?
My dad loved Jerry Reed, and he was a truck driver. So this, yeah,
yep, perfect. On this day in 1916, Albert Einstein published his General Theory of Relativity. Podcasters immediately said it was fake news and junk science back then. On this day in 1971, the number one song was by Janis Joplin. Sadly, Janis Joplin's number one hit came nearly 6 months after her passing this day in 1971. On this day in 1985, Canadian paraplegic athlete and humanitarian Rick Hansen began a circumnavigation of the globe in a wheelchair in the name of spinal cord injury medical research. It inspired a song that was performed by John Parr.
God, so 80s.
That was John Parr sang it. David Foster wrote it, and it was, of course, used most famously in the movie St. Elmo's Fire. On this day in 1990, Sinead O'Connor released her second album, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got, with a single written by Prince, Nothing Compares to You, that would propel her to stardom. On this day in 2020, The Weeknd released the album After Hours. It would go to number one, and this single off the album would become one of the most streamed songs of the year.
When I was doing my recordings this morning,
yep,
this song on YouTube has 740 million views.
Oh, man. Well, remember, that was a COVID year. We were all inside and getting whatever little entertainment we could.
Yeah.
And internet streaming was big at that point. Tony in Ashland writes on YouTube about Chris Hansen, the paraplegic going around the wheelchair in a globe. He did that and caught all those predators. What a busy guy. No, Tony, different one. Anyway, on the national day calendar today, first day of spring. Spring equinox, everybody.
It's today or it's tomorrow?
It's today. It is today. And it's also why today is International Day of Happiness. We've made it through winter. There's a lot on the calendar today. There is it's National Proposal Day. Wouldn't that be Valentine's Day? Anyway, National Ravioli Day, Astrology Day, Bibliomania Day, meaning you don't just love books, you love books. This is National Bach Beer Day.
Yeah.
This is National Storytelling Day and National Oral Health Day. That and much more. Mr. Mathers writes on the text line, my niece probably accounted for 100,000 of those streams of blinding lights over the interwebs.
It's a good song.
It was a very popular one back in the day. All right, I've got a couple of serious history notes to talk about here. It was on this day in 2003 that the United States and allies began an invasion of Iraq based on flimsy or flawed intelligence about weapons of mass destruction. Hundreds of thousands in Iraq died, as did more than 4,500 U.S. troops. Tens of thousands more were wounded, with impacts that affect them to this day. They rely on a promise to care for them through the VA Health Center. And as Alicia, who's a veteran, notes, Joe Zepecki is right. The wait time at the VA is months. People calling into the crisis lines are put on hold. Veterans who are suicidal are put on hold because of cutbacks at the VA. That is breaking a promise that was made to those who took part in the Iraq War and more. Coincidentally, happy birthday to what is left of the Republican Party, born this day in Ripon, Wisconsin in 1854. Once representing the moral high road of American politics for its origins as an anti-slavery party, the GOP took increasingly sharp right turns in 1964, again in 1980, again in 1994, again in 2016, and again in 2024. Now, both the Republican and Democratic parties are unrecognizable from their original forms, one for the better, while one has very nearly traded places with its original foes who would rather risk civil war than give up their extremism. So here's a birthday toast to the Republican Party and the hope that people who are on the center right, but closer to the center, can once again help their party find its way home. Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little time off, but not to worry. We've got a special Women's History Month episode for you. I talk with some of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A crazy night and day of weather across much of the country. ABC meteorologist Greg Dutra outlined some of it.
In Nebraska, blizzard conditions leaving roads covered in slick black ice. Cars and tractor trailers spinning out, ending up on the side of the road. Dry and windy conditions leading to wildfires. 38 fires broke out in Arkansas. In Texas, a wildfire burning through Sam Houston National Forest, prompting evacuations.
Hundreds of thousands of people are without power this morning. It'll take an act of Congress for it to actually happen, but President Trump is planning to sign an executive order today, shutting down the U.S. Department of Education. In Colorado, teachers are off the job today, protesting cuts and state support there. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says Israeli airstrikes overnight have killed at least 85 people. The renewed fighting sparked this week. Israel says it's the fault of Hamas for not going along with their plans to extend phase one of the ceasefire. This is ABC News. To great fans.